Right, today's episode, guys, is going to be looking at the changing rural landscapes in the UK. We're going to look at two areas, South Cambridgeshire and the Outer Hebrides, and we're going to look at the changes taking place in these two different areas, why those changes are taking place, and the impact that has on society and the economy. Let's go. So what's going on in South Cambridgeshire and how does that compare to the Outer Hebrides? South Cambridgeshire is marked by or characterised by huge amounts of immigration. It's a rural area of the UK that is growing increasingly. The population is currently around 150,000 people, and that's expected to grow. As we go to 2031, the population is estimated to rise to 182,000 people. So that's an increase of, 32,000 people? So that's pretty significant. That's somewhat like, 20 to 30%. Why is that happening? Why are people migrating into this area? There are three groups of people. The first are Eastern European farm labourers who seek employment opportunities on farms that basically nobody else in the UK wants to take up. I mean, nobody wants to be a herdsman. Nobody wants to be cutting crops in the field. It's tough, back-breaking work and get paid absolutely nothing for doing it. However, Eastern Europeans see it as a really, really good source of income because back home, the cost of living are so much lower. So they can earn a relatively decent wage here. So that's one. Another one is the continued growth of counter-urbanisation, people moving out of the cities to live on the outskirts in commuter settlements and then commuting in. And that's linked in with the rise of technology like the internet that allows people to work from home a lot of the time, increasing flexible arrangements with companies. Mrs. Bingham is a prime example of that, able to chop and change week in, week out, which day she works from home, which day she works up in London. And it's pretty easy to commute these days, particularly if you're in sort of the South Cambridgeshire area. It's very, very well connected in terms of road and rail. The third sort of category is that South Cambridgeshire is really attractive to the elderly and certain areas of the country, particularly in the south and particularly on the south coast, especially. Some areas are particularly attractive as a retirement location. So that ageing population, they are also downsizing and moving out to these rural locations. And that's causing some rural areas to grow. And South Cambridgeshire is a good example. In contrast, the Outer Hebrides is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. It is as isolated and as remote as you might wish to be in our country. And that no longer really holds much attraction for the young. And you probably resonate with this. If you were on the Outer Hebrides Islands, you would probably be fairly bored and quite keen to move away as quickly as possible because, let's be honest, the only employment opportunities are in primary industries, things like croft farming, where you're farming sheep on really tough, boggy land and not getting very much money for it. Or you're out fishing the sea. Again, not really a way of life many people want to lead, and so they move away. That leaves a remainder of sort of elderly people who, to put it bluntly, die out and they are not being replaced. So there's been a decline in the Outer Hebrides of nearly 50% since the start of the 20th century, and that's quite significant. So these two totally different areas, one experiencing growth, one experiencing decline. So let's take South Cambridgeshire and have a look at the impact that the change, the kind of growth change is happening. Several things, and these are all covered in the textbook as well if you want to read that on page 242. The first one is that a lot of people who use the villages of South Cambridgeshire as their kind of commuter settlement, they commute away from there. Most of their purchases, a lot of the services that they buy into, shops that they use, can often be in their place of work and not actually in the village. And not only that, but they are away for most of the day, only returning maybe early to late evening and going first thing in the morning. And that can leave a lot of these villages feeling like ghost villages during the day. Very, very abandoned places with very little life. And things like the pubs and village shops can struggle to be supported at all those other services. Maybe the pub will survive, but the village shop, the barbers, the takeaway, all those kind of things may well struggle. The other problem as well is a lot of people who move to the villages of South Cambridgeshire are fairly affluent and tend to use roads to commute to their place of work or just around the area. So the sudden increase in road users can cause congestion. Thirdly, as demand to live in these villages grows rapidly, there's a huge increase in the number of large construction projects on greenfield sites, and that can cause a lot of conflict within the village. I've got direct experience of that here in Bentley, where I live, where we've just been asked to sign a petition to prevent the development of new properties in our area, new estates. You know, they're talking something between 800 to 1,500 homes nearby. And also a really good friend of mine in the village is concerned that his lovely view out the back of his house is going to be destroyed by the development of maybe 5 or 6 properties on some land that's adjacent to him. And we're under pressure to sign these agreements. But I feel slightly I feel it's slightly ironic because a lot of us are living in properties that were only built 15 years ago and are effectively, you know, not that far from being new builds ourselves. So there's a lot of conflict and community concern that comes with the growth of these once quite characterful villages. The final thing is that the cost of the homes increase, and that can price out younger people. They're the kind of some of the social effects, particularly the negative social effects. I think on the more positive economic effects, a lot of the local farms in South Cambridgeshire are finding that actually they're able to hire Eastern European labourers who've come in and can be productive. Although on the flip side of that, because of the demand for homes, some farmers start selling their land more. And so there's a reduction in agricultural employment. We talked about the lack of affordable housing for young people. That's another economic issue as well as social, I guess. And we talked about the car ownership. That also not just leads to congestion, but it also leads to maybe higher petrol prices because of the high demand in those areas. Whilst you get the Eastern European migrants providing kind of a diversity, a cultural diversity and cultural mix, that's often not particularly well received in rural areas that often can be quite conservative in their political outlook and their sort of attitudes to other people. And that can, again, cause quite a lot of conflict. I think that's about it. So what about the Outer Hebrides? Well, I have to say it's a pretty gloomy picture for an area that's in population decline. Whereas with South Cambridgeshire, you can argue there are definitely some positive effects of huge amounts of wealth coming into the area. In the Outer Hebrides, it's a totally different situation. You've got a real decline socially. You've got a lack of children. The demographics of the population structure starts to break down. It becomes very, very unbalanced, and there are a lot of very elderly people within the area. Number of school children falling results in things like school closures, for instance, and the closure of other child services. With younger people moving away, there's a reduction in the number of working age people living in the Outer Hebrides. So very unbalanced population. And that leads to another social impact, which is you've got a huge ageing population that need care and support, and you don't have younger people there to support them. And that can lead to some serious care issues in the future and social welfare concerns. The economic effects are also pretty significant. The economy, the local economy of many of these areas, like the Outer Hebrides, just totally collapsed over the space of several decades. And that leads to loss of many services, things like post offices closing down, for instance, or ferry services being reduced. And whilst the UK and the Scottish governments do a lot to try to
provide subsidies, money to support those services like ferries and maintenance of roads and maintenance of essential services like electricity and gas and etc. It's still an uphill battle, a losing battle. There's always that loss. The farming can suffer. So many areas of land on the Outer Hebrides basically become uncultivated, and I guess in that sense there's an environmental benefit in that they can often be therefore returned back to their natural state. But the fishing industry has declined. The stats in the textbook are that, you know, there were 900 fishing boats around the 1950s, whereas today there's only just a few boats catching some prawns and lobsters for a very small market. So you've got a decline in fishing. There has been an increase in tourism to the island. You know, in a country where going to somewhere that is truly wild and sort of fairly isolated is actually an increasingly common thing. The tourism has maybe grown in the Outer Hebrides, and that's a positive. But the problem with that is the infrastructure that's needed to support tourism is just, it's not where it needs to be. And needs more investment. Okay, so a question that you can test yourself on is contrast the economic challenges associated with rural areas of population growth and decline, and that's 6 marks. You could vary that slightly and say contrast the social challenges associated with rural areas of population growth and decline. 6 marks. I do think that if this comes up, it's most likely to be a 6 marker, and there's definitely going to be an element of contrast. You know, can you contrast the impacts, the effects of the change? Can you highlight what changes have taken place in these? That might be a 2 mark question that builds in, or 3 mark question that builds into a 6 marker. Maybe using some kind of stimulus or stimuli, like a figure, a map of some sort, or some data. But yeah, I think those 2 practice questions would be good to try out. Good luck with it, and look forward to seeing lots of you on Wednesday. If I've got time, I will try and post another podcast at some point tomorrow night. Good luck with it all. I hope the English goes well, I think. Is it English tomorrow? I hope that goes well. Take care. Bye.
He has stinky breath.